It's Wednesday, May 25th. Welcome to Market Foolery. I'm Chris Hill. Joining me in studio today from Motley Fool Funds, Bill Barker. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I've stumped you already.
You've stumped me already.
I've thrown you.
I'm just sort of staring at the lineup.
You're aghast.
I'm not aghast. Well, at least not the topics that we're going to talk about. There are other things about which I am aghast. But we continue to have news. We continue to have earnings, even though earnings season has most certainly tapered off. And we're coming up on Memorial Day, so we'll talk about that as well. But let's start with some earnings from Intuit, which is Intuit, yet another company that is best known not by the company name, but by one of the products that it makes. And in this case, it is the maker of TurboTax. Third quarter profits came in higher than expected. They raised guidance for the full fiscal year. Everything about this report looks good.
Everything good, yep.
And shares down about 3%.
Right, and that's just a function of the company having traded up $3-4 a share yesterday, I guess, in anticipation of the earnings release. The company had already announced at the end of April that it had a very good tax season, so there was sort of a pre-announcement of good news which had already flowed into the stock. This was a day before, I think, H&R Block pre-announced, wow, we really had a bad tax season. And you may ask yourself, how can that be true
right. For
these two?
Yeah.
And that's the problem for H&R Block. And Intuit's on the right side of current history, anyway. This is where people are bringing their business at tax season. They had their best tax season ever. It's the biggest quarter for the company. They're not just... TurboTax, Quicken Books is also a very big product, but TurboTax is
isn't it QuickBooks?
QuickBooks, yeah.
Okay.
And so this is a great quarter, and the good news had basically already been priced in. As you say, it's not usual. You see company raise guidance, hit numbers, surpass estimates, raise guidance, and move down, but that's a function of looking at the stock price, which was 107 yesterday, which is more than 30 times this year's earnings. Not that bizarre for a strong software type company, but this was already a strong year for the stock.
And you would expect them, just as I assume you would expect H&R Block. I mean, the quarter that we're talking about is the quarter that includes tax day. So If they're not getting it done, then so I guess I would look at H&R Block and just ask,
how's your business model going?
Yeah, how's that working out for you? I mean, it's kind of like a retailer that can't get it done in December.
Yeah, and H&R Block is much more of a one-trick pony than Intuit. As big as TurboTax is, they have other software that companies use throughout the year, and H&R Block, I suppose, pretends that it has a business throughout the rest of the year other than tax time, but it really, they're on the wrong side of history at this point, I think.
They got a good ad campaign, though. What? Did you see their TV ads around, like, the NCAA tournament, that sort of thing?
Remind me.
It was just a guy.
I don't watch as much college hoops as you do.
It was basically like, come get your money. It was basically like a guy with a great voice just laying out the why you should go to H&R Block, and I thought it was a great ad campaign, but apparently ineffective.
Did you go to H&R Block?
I actually did, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And? So don't blame me, H&R Block.
Good experience?
Yeah, they're great. Yeah.
I mean, you're not being audited or anything, as far as we know.
Well,
unlike
not yet.
At least one of our presidential candidates, so you're...
That's true. That's true. And like,
maybe you should have gone to H&R Block.
And like one of our presidential candidates, I'm not making my tax records public. One last thing before we move on to Tiffany. You mentioned that Intuit pre-announced that they had a really good quarter. Why would you do that? Why? I feel like if I was running a public company and I knew the quarter that we were going to be announcing in, say, a month or so was going to be a great report, I wouldn't tip the hand like that.
Well, sometimes, and I don't know if that was the case here, but companies will, if they're going in front of investor conferences and they've got news to share, and this is how we are looking at the rest of our year or next year, and they're trying to guide people. You don't need to wait for the quarter to wrap up. look, it's a month later right now. At April 15th, they basically know how the quarter went. And so I think it was April 23rd or 24th, something like that, where they gave this information to the market, and probably because they wanted to share it in other fora than just there.
Tiffany's first quarter sales fell 7%. Profits for the quarter were light, and they lowered guidance. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
It's been another bad bad earnings period for Tiffany, following on many others. This really is a company that hasn't done
they've
a
had a
whole
bad
lot.
Stretch here.
Yeah, it's been about 5 years of roughly flat sales. I mean, it's a little higher than it was 5 years ago, but not enough. The earnings haven't moved up. It was propelled higher on a weaker dollar. That is a trend which seems to have not only reversed, but may take many years of reversing if it takes the same amount of time that the weakening of the dollar did. So it can keep coming out and saying, well, this is the dollar's fault. But, you know, this is not really like weather. Some quarters there really is bad weather, and some quarters there really is good weather, and companies don't always give weather the credit when they're on the right side of it. They always give weather the blame when they're on the wrong side of it.
Good weather never gets the credit.
Almost no. Some companies do.
Maybe some tourism, maybe.
Some companies will do that, and they're the ones you should be more interested in investing in if they're the ones that talk about weather, both when it helps and hurts, so that you have an idea of whether they're executing or whether they're not. Tiffany needs a weaker dollar, apparently, to have any significant business growth, and it's not on the way.
Shares of Tiffany stock are down 34% in the past year. If you're a value investor and you think, well, look, the dollar can't stay strong forever, and they've got a strong brand, and we know there is virtually no danger that this is a business that is going to go down market in the way that others have done. Is this a value opportunity right now?
It's not cheap enough. Okay. It's trading at almost 18 times earnings right now, which is a tiny bit less than the market, about 10% less than the market as a whole. But it's not growing as fast as other companies in the market are. And how much more interested are you in high-end jewelry as a proposition 10 years from now than today? I mean, where is that going? It is dependent on people agreeing that diamonds, which are in reality basically valueless, have this great value. That as long as everybody assumes the emperor's clothes, that diamonds have some intrinsic value, then they've got a business. But, you know, they make something which is about the same today as 100 years ago. I mean, gold is not, the functionality of this stuff is not changing.
Sure, it's pretty, though.
It's pretty.
but then again, a lot of things are pretty.
Sometimes you got to go out and buy some. They get about 9% of their business just from the New York flagship, which is a lot of tourism, and one assumes.
Wait a minute. 9% of Tiffany's sales come from a single location?
Yeah.
That makes me even less interested in their business model.
Right. And so where is that coming from? A lot of it's coming from tourists who are not flooding New York because of the strong dollar at the moment. And you need, I think, a lot of rich Wall Street guys that are in trouble at home shopping at Tiffany's when it's necessary.
That's one of those things that is absolutely true, but there's no way you can advertise for that. There's no advertising campaign that Tiffany could roll out to really try and juice that niche part of their market.
Right. Well, you don't have to, do you? You don't have to point that out.
Probably not.
That information has
probably
seeped
best
out.
If you don't. Microsoft shares are up slightly on the news that the company is laying off nearly 2,000 people and taking a $950 million write-down related to the mobile phone business that it bought from Nokia back in 2014. The deal closed in 2014. They announced it in the fall of 2013. And just as a refresher, do you remember what they paid for this business?
$7 billion, I think.
$7.2 billion. And I think if you're a Microsoft shareholder, this is just one more reason to be happy about Satya Nadella occupying the CEO chair, because he didn't make this deal. He's not the one who gave the green light to buy Nokia for $7.2 billion.
Who is that guy?
That's Steve Ballmer. That's Los Angeles Clippers owner Steve Ballmer. holy cow. This is, I mean, we were talking about this earlier today. This was one of those stories when we saw it this morning. We both had the same reaction, which was, I'm pretty sure we called this.
Yeah.
By the way, not that we're the only two people. We
and no, everybody else.
Everybody else not named Steve Ballmer saw this coming.
Yeah. I was reminded, we started to think, well, what are the mergers or acquisitions where you saw it and you just immediately said, I'm not in that industry. I don't know as much as all the people have been working day and night on this proposition are. But, I mean, wow. That really makes no sense to me. And I think that when Countrywide was acquired by Bank of America, that was one of them. And this was another where you just say, that's not going to work, is it? What is it somebody else knows that I don't know? And apparently we... I think having more knowledge than we had at the time was a dangerous thing for Microsoft. But I understand, okay, why do you try to do this at all? You see the profits that Apple was making on the iPhone, and you say, we're just as good as they are if people would just bother to try our products. And that was the thinking, I guess, or we'll make something that's just as good or better. And we've got the software talent to do it. And, you know, they were wrong because there's just too much of an entrenched, customer base already in the iPhone.
Years ago, Bill Simmons, a.k.a. the sports guy, wrote a column in which he put forth an idea for professional sports teams that they hire what he referred to as the VP of common sense. And I believe this was in relation to the NFL draft, where teams were talking about drafting players that they assumed were sort of diamonds in the rough, that sort of thing, when there was an obviously great player sitting there waiting for them to draft. And Simmons put forth this idea that teams that are working hard on anything, whether it's a trade or a draft or any sort of deal, need someone that they can go to who is not in the room, who's not in that bubble, because you can absolutely get that sort of bubble mentality. And I think this applies to business as well. Someone who's on the payroll, who's not with the team every day, not with the executives every day, but is getting paid just to be sort of a sounding board. And then you just sort of go, because I think if back in the day, Microsoft had a VP of common sense they could have gone to and said, oh, by the way, we've been working on this deal. We think we can buy Nokia's phone business, mobile phone business, for just north of $7 billion. What do you think of that? I think the VP of common sense goes, what are you, nuts? Do you have any ideas how many different ways you could spend $7 billion? You don't do that. No, that's not going to work, and you're just going to end up writing it off.
So I agree. But they're not the only ones, right? Amazon, no more success in trying to break into the phone market.
Oh, yeah.
Less success than Microsoft has had.
Tim Hansen last week.
As much money.
Tim Hansen last week bringing up the example of Google buying Motorola's phone. Well, a deal that I had completely forgotten about until Tim mentioned it. And they paid more for Motorola's business than Microsoft paid for Nokia's mobile phone business.
So all these guys see each other's monopolies and they think, justifiably, we have the ability to do that thing well also, and then we can have some of the profits. But there are certain markets, certain devices, certain software platforms where it's over, and phones may not be it, but you think of so Google search, for instance, in its dominance. Who else has tried to crack into search, everybody. Facebook, like, well, we can do search, right?
Microsoft, we're great. Yahoo.
Or who's tried to duplicate Facebook? How's Google Plus working out? You know, they're all going to take their crack at each other's business. And, you know, some of these businesses are just monopolies. And I don't think the phone market is a monopoly. Obviously, the Android system has got plenty of market share. But Microsoft does not and will not. And, I mean, I can remember talking to a friend who worked at Microsoft, and this was maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, and he had his Microsoft phone out, which of course I had never seen one, and I'd say, isn't that cute that you're still trying? And that was, you know, years before this acquisition of Nokia, where it was already possible to write off Microsoft's efforts in the phone market. But you know what, they're making tons of money. They can make some. This, you know what this was, kind of? As big as $7 billion sounds like, it was a little bet.
For them, it was a little bet.
It was a little bet.
Yeah. And again, I'll say it again, just one more reason to feel good about Satya Nadella as CEO. Before we wrap up, Memorial Day coming up. You're not on the road.
I'm not on as long a road as I hear that you're on.
Right.
I've got like a soccer.
You've got regional soccer tournaments.
Yeah, it's like an hour drive.
Okay.
If there's no traffic, which I'm hoping there won't be this Memorial Day weekend. How about you?
I am driving to Central Ohio because that is where the high school national rowing championship is taking place.
You're flying into an airport near Central Ohio and then driving the rest of the way, right?
No, I'm driving the whole way. But like you, I'm hoping that, realistically, and maybe this is me being just stupid, but realistically,
I think you're already already highlighting whether this is realistic or not.
I'm hoping that once I get out of the greater DC area, once I get, say, 40 miles north of DC, once I get past the 270 spur, and then a little bit further than that, I'm hoping that traffic won't be bad as I'm heading into western Pennsylvania and then into Ohio.
How close do you come to Pittsburgh?
I come close-ish to Pittsburgh, but not so close that I'm going to stop off in Pittsburgh.
Right, but you could be picking up some traffic from the good people of the Iron City joining you on the road.
For anyone listening just stay home. You don't want to hit the road this weekend. You'd be crazy. You'd be stupid to want to drive around this weekend.
Well, what would you be doing if you weren't on the road? As you're going off to one of your children's sporting events, yeah. As am I, but I'm a little bit more local.
Right, and then other than that, grilling, because this is, I mean, it's the
what's on the menu.
It's the start of summer, so it's the start of barbecue season. What's on the menu? A lot of meat, I'm imagining. In all seriousness, here's my, it's not a New Year's resolution, but let's just say it's the beginning of summer grilling resolution. More kebabs. Kebabs are great, and I don't make them nearly enough. And I got a kebab set for Christmas that I still haven't broken out yet, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to be looking for kebab recipes.
A kebab set. Skewers, you mean?
Skewers. Yeah, but it's not just skewers. It's skewers that lay on top of some sort of platform, and you put the whole thing in, and they grill without really sticking to the grill.
Ah, okay.
So kebabs, that's going to be on the menu. What are you going to be grilling up?
I don't know. I mean, I think the kebabs sound great. I cheat a lot and get sort of the pre-loaded kebabs from your Whole Foods or something.
Oh, okay.
Where they've just done all the work for you, and all you got to do is do the cooking.
You know what? That's fine. I'm not going to look down my nose at that.
I don't have one of these fancy sets. I didn't even know there was such a thing. A set. The skewers. What else is there?
Can I just say one thing about skewers that I find a little bizarre? Is the whole wooden skewer thing. Because just get the metal skewers, okay? Nothing's going to happen to them. They're not going to disintegrate. The wooden skewers where you have to, it's like, oh, you can use wooden skewers, but then you have to soak them in water for like 3 hours ahead of time. Just buy the metal skewers. By the way, it cooks faster if you get a metal skewer than a wooden skewer.
All right, but if you're going to Whole Foods and you get the kebab. They're not handing out metal skewers.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
They're not throwing those away.
That's true.
So you know, you got it, and yeah, they burn and catch on fire on occasion if you're bad at grilling.
I'll just say this. I'm not Ron Gross level great at grilling. But my stuff is almost never undercooked. When I'm grilling, if I err, it's on the side of overcooking.
Is that a claim to fame? Like, I don't undercook, therefore,
yeah,
I'm pretty good.
I'm damning myself with faint praise. When you come to my place and I'm grilling,
well, I got to come over and make sure that I can get some overcooked anything.
Fill in the blank. Overcooked anything.
Overcooked anything. Yeah. So go in. I'd like it medium rare. What am I going to get?
Medium at least, and probably well done. You can come to my house for some grilled food. Just don't expect it to be anything approaching medium rare.
Could I like sneak it off the grill while you're not looking?
You never touch another man's grill. Ever.
Fair enough.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
As always, people on the program may have interest in the stocks they talk about, and the Motley Fool may have formal recommendations for or against. So don't buy or sell stocks based solely on what you hear. That's going to do it for this edition of Market Foolery. The show is mixed by Dan Boyd. I'm Chris Hill. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.